Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tuned in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In a few moments, we will continue our series of studies here on Grace Alive entitled A Foundation to Build On. We're looking at the four foundation stones upon which you can build your Christian life. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is our starting point for this series of studies, so you might want to take a moment now and get your Bibles and turn with us to the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. And as you do that, I'll remind you once again that you are watching Grace Alive, and at the end of the program, we'll be giving you complete information about how you can contact us if you have questions or comments about the program, or if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, the CDs, or the DVDs of this entire month's series of studies. And when you write, if you're requesting those, just request the series on building a foundation. We'll be glad to get them out to you without any cost or obligation. Right now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and in 1 Corinthians 3, we'll read verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 10, we read this: "According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Paul talks here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 about the fact that he has laid a foundation, and we are building on that foundation that he laid. And the foundation that he laid is Jesus Christ. Now, we're taking that principle of a foundation and building on a foundation. And as you read on down through 1 Corinthians chapter 3 here, you see that the work that you build upon that foundation will one day be tested. In verse 14, "If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." That thing that you build on the foundation will be tested and tried as to whether it's a good building. So it's important that we build on the right foundation in order to have a good building. You know, in the physical realm, if you can build the most beautiful, elaborate building you want, but if the foundation stones of that building are not sure and not sound, when those foundation stones shift, the whole building will come tumbling down. The same is true of your spiritual life. If we don't build on the proper foundation, it doesn't matter how much you do and how much spiritual activity you have in your life. If it's not built on a good foundation, ultimately it will come tumbling down. So we're talking about the four stones, the four pillars, if you will, upon which we need to build our lives as believers. Paul says the foundation that he laid is Jesus Christ, and we are talking about that foundation in terms of how is Christ presented, and how do we need to understand Christ in this dispensation of grace. And in times past on the broadcast, we've looked at four basic building blocks, four basic foundation stones that we need to build upon. The foundation to build upon. Last week we looked at number one, a book you can trust. The second, a gospel you can believe. The third, study you can understand. And the final, a life you can live. As I mentioned, last week we looked at a book you can trust. And in each of these studies, we are focusing on the last word in each of these principles, a book you can trust. You need a book that is trustworthy. That is, you need some objective standard of truth. And as we saw last week, in practical terms, that means you need an objective standard of truth that originated outside of mankind, outside of yourself, but outside of all men. Because you can't always trust yourself. You can't trust your own emotions, your own thoughts, your own feelings. You certainly can't trust the thoughts and the emotions and the feelings of others. So we need to, in order to have a book we can trust, we need to find a book that originates outside of man. And that book that originates outside of man is the Word of God. It's called the Word of God. The Bible is called the Word of God because it doesn't originate with man. It is not the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, "When you received the things that we taught you, you received it as it is in truth, not the word of man, but the word of God." So that's the first step, the first foundation, the first stone that you need to lay, that first pillar you need to set, that first starting point is to have a book you can trust. Something outside of yourself that is an objective standard. And as we said, the key to that book is that you find a book that when it speaks, it is always right. And every time you disagree with it, you're willing to accept the fact that you're wrong. You're not going to try to change it. You're not going to try to alter it. You're not going to try to get around it. You simply say, if that book speaks, then I need to align myself to that book. Period. Whatever it says, whatever area, whatever circumstance of my life, I need to align myself to that book. When it speaks, it's right. And I align myself to it always. The second, which we're going to talk about today, a gospel you can believe. Now, we're going to talk about a gospel you can believe, and we're going to introduce this by understanding that every person needs to make a choice. There's a choice that you need to make about your eternal destiny. There's a choice you need to make about how you're going to live your life. There's a choice you need to make about who you're going to serve. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Joshua, chapter 24. And in Joshua, this is a very famous verse. Some of you might have this up on a plaque in your house somewhere. It's a verse that's used quite often. Joshua chapter 24, and look at verse 14. Joshua says this, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." And the Lord, in that case, is all capital letters, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Serve the Lord. Jehovah. When you see all capital letters for the word Lord in your King James Bible, it's a translation of that Hebrew name, Jehovah. So he tells them, you need to serve Jehovah. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, to serve Jehovah, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve. You choose who you're going to serve. You can serve the gods that are on the other side of the flood, the gods of the Amorites, or you can serve Jehovah God, but you need to make a choice. Turn to 1 Kings chapter number 18. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse number 21. 1 Kings 18, 21. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God," and again, that's Lord in all capital letters, it's Jehovah. He's naming God because there are many gods talked about in the Bible. There are many different gods that people worship. He's making sure you understand which God. If Jehovah be God, follow Him. But if Baal, that is, if Baal is God, follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Elijah says, you need to make a choice. If Jehovah is God, then worship him. If Baal is God, worship him. Israel's not willing to make that choice. They answer him not a word. They're just going to try to ride the fence a little longer. When it comes to a gospel you can believe, it comes to what you're going to believe, it often comes down to, here's your choices. You can do this or you can do this. You can believe this or you can believe this. You can serve this God or you can serve this God. But you must choose. We're going to talk today about two choices when it comes to eternal life. Two ways that you can get eternal life. Choice A and choice B. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 2. And let's look what Romans chapter 2 says about getting eternal life. Romans chapter 2 and verse 5. "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor in immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of the man that doeth evil, to the Jew first and also the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. Verse 10 says, God will render glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. He says in verse 7, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to them who do not obey the truth, but that are contentious, do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, he will bring indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on the Jew first and also on the Gentile. So there's one choice. Romans chapter 2 says, if you want to have eternal life, and you want to have God's blessing, all you need to do is be good. If you will be good, if you will, by patient continuance and well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give you eternal life. In fact, he won't have to give it to you. You will have earned eternal life. By patient continuance and well-doing, you will earn eternal life. He reiterates that down in verse 10, glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good. If you work good, the result of that will be glory, honor, and peace. It's what you'll earn. So one choice that you have when it comes to eternal life, when it comes to eternal destiny, is to work for it. To, by patient continuance and well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, and you will thereby earn eternal life. Now that sounds pretty easy, but there's a little fly in the ointment. In Romans chapter 3, verse 9, Paul says this, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. And notice, Jews and Gentiles, that's the same people he's talking about back in chapter 2, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. He'll give glory and honor and immortality, or he'll give tribulation and indignation and wrath if you don't do good. In chapter 3, he says, both Jews and Gentiles, we have proved something about both Jews and Gentiles. Verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth, and the next word there is important, good. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So think about that. In chapter 2, verse 10, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Every Jew or Gentile that worketh good, he gives glory, honor, and peace and eternal life. Every Jew and Gentile, chapter 3, verse 12, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. So, if you do good, you get eternal life. But what does chapter 3, verse 12 say? How many are there that does good, that do good? There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So now, you got a choice. I can try to do good and earn eternal life. And Romans chapter 2 tells me if I do good that I will earn eternal life. But Romans chapter 3 tells me that God has already decided there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Well, if I have to do good to have eternal life, but there is none that doeth good, then what's the answer? Well, Romans chapter 4 and verse number 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. To him that worketh not, but believeth his faith. Now, that verse tells us a couple of important things. Number one, it tells us that faith is not a work. To him that worketh not, but believeth. So if you have faith, if you believe, by definition, that is not a work. Because to him that worketh not, but believeth, you're not working, but you are believing, his faith is counted for righteousness. So there, Romans chapter 4 tells us that there's another way to eternal life, and that is faith, to believe, to not work, but to believe. In fact, if you turn to Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11 reiterates that idea that faith and works are not the same thing. Because although Romans 3 tells us that there is none that doeth good, there is nobody that does good works, yet Hebrews 11 tells us, Hebrews 11, 6, without faith it is impossible to please him, that is to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith it is impossible to please God. Your works cannot please God. Faith does please God. Your works, he's already says, there is none good, no, not one, but faith pleases him. You can have faith to him that worketh not, but believeth. So here's your choice. A gospel you can believe. You have to choose, are you going to work to earn eternal life, or are you going to accept eternal life as a gift by faith? That's the choice. It's just like when Elijah stood on Mount Carmel and said, if Jehovah is God, serve him. If Baal is God, serve him, but decide. It's just like when Joshua said, if you want to serve the gods that our fathers served before the flood, then serve them. If you want to serve Jehovah God, then serve him, but choose. If you think you can earn eternal life with your good works, that's fine. If you'd rather simply accept it as a gift by faith, then do it. But choose. Now, before you choose, you should know that God has already said, there is none good, no, not one. He's already said, your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. He's already said, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. There is none righteous, no, not one. He's already said all that. But if you still think that you can earn eternal life, then go have at it. Go to it. But for me, what I'm going to build my life on is something I can believe. Because I believe what that verse says, that there is none good, no, not one. That there is none that doeth righteousness. I believe that. And I believe, therefore, that my only option is to have faith, to believe. I need a gospel I can believe. I don't need a gospel that says you have to work. I don't need a gospel that says do A, B, C, and D and you'll have eternal life. I don't need a gospel that says to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality. Because I can't do that. I can't patiently continue in well-doing. I know myself, and you know yourself. And I know what the verses say, and I know that none of us will patiently continue in well-doing for our whole life. And that means patiently continuing well-doing means day one to the last. I know I don't, and you know you don't. And that verse tells us no one does. So since we can't work for it, if I'm going to build my life, I got to build it on something more than my own works, which I know are going to fail. I need to build it on a gospel I can simply believe, trust. Because Romans 4 tells me, to him that worketh not, but believeth, my faith will be counted for righteousness. And that righteousness is what I need to get eternal life. So if I can find a way to get righteousness without works, by simply believing, then I can have eternal life by that same belief, by that same faith. Well, what am I going to believe? Well, Romans chapter 3 is where Paul tells us that there's none righteous. Chapter 4 is where he tells us about what faith is. And in between there, he's going to tell us what it is that we have to have faith in, what it is we have to believe. In Romans chapter 3, verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. The righteousness of God comes is offered unto all men, and it comes upon all them that believe. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, we know that. That's what he said earlier in Romans 3. There is none righteous, there is none that doeth good. Verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Being justified freely by His grace. Free justification, freely. We didn't earn it. It's not something we deserve. It's free by His grace. That means it's a gift. It's free. We didn't earn it. He gives it to us by His grace. How does He do that? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I need to believe something about Christ. I need to believe something about the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What's verse 25 say about that? Whom God, speaking of Christ, God hath set forth Jesus Christ to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Jesus Christ is set forth to be a satisfaction. That word propitiation means satisfaction. He is a satisfaction for sin. And that satisfaction comes through faith in His blood. God the Father looks at the blood of Christ and says, My anger and my wrath on sin is satisfied by the blood of Christ. We need to agree with that. We need to believe that when Jesus Christ shed His blood, it paid the debt, satisfied the penalty for the payment for our sin. And if we simply trust that, believe that, we receive the gift of eternal life. You can work for it, or you can receive it as a free gift. You must choose. The Bible says if you patiently continue in well-doing, you'll get eternal life. But the Bible also says you're not going to do that because there's none good, no, not one. The Bible goes on to say there is a way to be saved, to have eternal life, just by faith, by trusting what Christ did. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 1, says this, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's what you need to believe. Christ died. The gospel which I preached unto you, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's a gospel you can believe. That's what I need to build. That's what you need to build your life on. So you can never be sure, even though the Bible says, if you patiently continue in well-doing, you'll receive eternal life. You can never be sure you're going to do that, even if you think you have. Now, if you believe the same Bible that says if you patiently continue in well-doing, you get eternal life, remember, it's that same Bible that says there is none good, so you're not going to continue in patiently continuing well-doing. But if there's any chance, even if you think you've done that from day one to where you are now, which if you think that, you're already lying to yourself and to me and to God. But even if you think you have, there's no guarantee you're going to continue to do it from now clear to the end. Patiently continue in well-doing. That is, every day, every minute, every hour, do good. So there's another choice. The other choice is build your life on a gospel you can believe. lay that foundation that doesn't require you to do anything, that just requires you to believe something. That just requires you to believe that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that in that act, death, burial, and resurrection, He paid the penalty for our sin and offers us the gift of eternal life. And when you believe that, that's a foundation. That's something you can build on. Because you didn't have to do, you didn't have to lift your little finger. All you had to do was believe. To him that worketh not, but believeth, his faith is counted for righteousness. You need a book you can trust. You need a gospel that requires only belief. Those two to begin building that foundation. The next 2 weeks, we'll look at the final two, study you can understand and a life you can live. Right now, we'd like to invite you to write to us here at Grace Alive. Our address is simply Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our toll-free phone number is 877-53-GRACE, and our web address is www.gracealive.org. Again, our address, Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, web address, www.gracealive.org, and our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. If you contact us in any one of those three ways this week, we'd be glad to send you the audio or video cassette tapes, the CDs, or the DVDs of this entire month's series of studies. Just write in, request the series on building a foundation. We'll be glad to get it out to you without any cost or obligation. Also, if you have questions or comments about what you've heard here on Grace Alive, be sure to let us know about those too, and we'll be glad to answer your questions and receive those comments from you as well. Until next week, when we continue this series of studies looking at study you can understand, it's our prayer that God's grace would truly be alive in your life.